Let's look at some of the evidences for reincarnation, Jeff.
Okay.
What do we have out there?
Well, probably the most compelling evidence was that I mentioned Dr. Ian Stevenson a moment ago. He's been studying reincarnation since the late 50s, except he would study past life memories in children. He was intrigued with the idea of children as young as 4 or 5 years old, who, as soon as they could talk, were already talking about their other family, their spouse, how they died, what they did in their last life, little things like that you would expect from a 4 or 5 year old. And he spent the next 40 years going around the world studying these cases.
Now, did he have to regress them under hypnosis, or they just talked about it?
No, this is actually the thing. He really wasn't a big proponent of hypnosis. He thought it was too prone towards fantasy. So these were children that spontaneously recalled this. He had over 3,000 cases that he studied over the 40 years, wrote extensively on several hundred of them. And I think that's probably the best scientific evidence of reincarnation. It's very difficult to explain through other means.
In Chicago, there was a little boy who claims to have been a World War II pilot in planes that nobody really understood. They apparently would get blowouts on their tires on impact of landing, and that was not widely publicized. But the kid would freely tell his dad, "Dad, when we would land, the tires would always blow out." I mean, he was 6 years old, telling him that. His father finally went and talked to some people who knew this plane. They were just in shock that the father would even bring things like that up.
Yeah, I remember that. I think that was on TV.
It was an ABC News clip.
Yeah, the kid was remembered being a pilot who was shot down, I think, over Iwo Jima.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, when he's a little kid, he was telling him, "I was in an F-4 Corsair," and nobody knew what an F-4U Corsair was. And then they had to do some research, and he figured it out. But this kid never had any access to that kind of information, certainly not at that age.
All right, so we have children, past life memories as one, and they seem to be able to do it without regression. Why do they forget these things when they get older?
Well, that was something Dr. Stevenson was never able to really explain. It seems like once they hit 10, 11 years old, those memories faded. By the time they hit puberty, they had completely forgotten about them. So he really didn't have an explanation. The best explanation I can think of is that these children often died in traumatic ways in their past lives, and they would reincarnate very quickly in a nearby village. And apparently the speed at which they reincarnated in some cases help them retain some of these memories, at least when they were young, that eventually faded as they grew older.
Ah, that's amazing. The people who reincarnate, you know, and I always used to think it was, you know, reach this perfection, get better all the time. You're saying that doesn't happen? People don't get better each time they come back?
Well, I think that as you experience more things, you certainly become more aware, more conscious of things. You become wiser, if you will. Whether that equates as better is more of a judgment call. But you certainly do become more mature with each incarnation.
But it's the memory that fascinates me. Why some people remember, others don't. Why hypnosis is necessary. Do you think it's a physical block that the brain sets up for some reason?
Well, I think there's all sorts of information that exists in our minds that we've come across that we've just stored away. We can't access it readily. I think reincarnation is one of those things that kind of fits into that mold. I also believe that when you regress somebody hypnotically, they're not necessarily looking for these things in their own brain. They're actually reaching into the soul memory, if you will. Those are things that don't exist in our brain normally. They have to be sort of toggled, if you will. And so that's why I think that those kinds of memories are not normally accessible to us unless there was some sort of trauma in a past life or something which is affecting you today.
Explain that soul memory again.
Well, what I believe is that when you die, all of the experiences and events of that particular lifetime go into the soul's memory bank, if you will. Think of the soul as the hard drive.
Okay, I'm with you.
And each personality is an individual laptop. They're all networked into the hard drive. So that laptop vanishes. It's gone.
And we're sharing the hard drive.
Right. We're sharing. Actually, the soul is generating multiple numbers of personality simultaneously from his perspective, although we experience them sequentially. But in any case, that information is going into that soul hard drive. And so when we do a past life regression, what we're actually doing is tapping into that memory bank. And it's being interpreted through our own current personality, which is why it's often distorted or incomplete, because it's been diffused, if you will. It's not pure and clean like it was originally. But that's the best we can do from our end of the spectrum.
Do we sometimes dream of our past lives, Jeff?
Yeah, there's been cases of people doing that. If you ever have a dream in which you're in some sort of period costume or something that's completely unrelated to anything that you would have seen on TV or read in a book, you might be actually reliving an event from a past life.
But in so doing, let's say in the dream state, let's say you can see people you know from past lives. Is it possible that these people that you live with today, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your friends, they also lived with you or they interacted with you in the past lives?
I do believe that souls tend to travel in flocks or groups, if you will, so that there's an excellent chance that there are a number of people that you meet in this life who you have interacted with in other lifetimes. In one case, an example is my own wife in this life, I believe, was my niece. Two lifetimes.
Now, why do you say that, or how do you say that?
Well, we had a very instant attraction when we first met, like we'd known each other for years. And during our past life regression that I underwent a couple of years ago, she actually turned out having been a favorite niece of mine, and she died in childbirth. And it was a devastating event to me. And two lifetimes later, we got together in a different context, her as my wife now instead of my niece.